Well, good morning, all. Have you ever heard of the World War II hero, Major William Martin? If so, did you know that this British officer saved thousands of lives in World War II, yet he never once set foot on a battlefield? The Allies, see, had invaded North Africa, and the next logical step was then onto the island of Sicily. But knowing the Germans would probably also realize this and would do everything they could to stop it, the Allies had to come up with a daring plan. Well, one night, a submarine placed an unnamed corpse with fake documents naming him as Major William Martin, an officer in the Royal Marines, along with fake invasion plans targeting not Sicily, but Greece and Sardinia, in a rubber raft off the coast of Spain. Imagine the surprised Germans when they found his body, believing it was an Allied officer on a secret spy mission. They eagerly retrieved the documents and passed them along all the way up to Hitler, who fell for the bait. While German troops scrambled to defend these decoy locations, the real Allied invasion forces successfully stormed Sicily. Now, Satan works with even more cunning than the Allies did with their plan, getting us into fights and many temptations in places where the real battle isn't. To stand against him, we need to recognize where the real fight does lie and prepare ourselves accordingly. Last week, we began a new message series called Spiritual Warfare, Standing Strong in a Difficult World. We noted that the Bible tells us that Satan has a simple three-point plan: deceive, divide, and destroy. 1 Peter 5:8 says it well: stay alert, watch out for your great enemy, the devil. He prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Peter wanted his readers to know they were facing an angry foe who's very real and very powerful. But we also saw last week that while we're engaged in this spiritual battle, we're not alone in the fight. Satan and his demons try to steer us away from God and his plans for our lives, but the good news is we are equipped to overcome them. While imprisoned in Rome, the Apostle Paul wrote the letter to the Ephesians, among others. Imagine Paul, constantly chained to a Roman guard, observing all of the soldiers' armor, the breastplate, the helmet, the sword. The Bible tells us during this time the Holy Spirit spoke to Paul, prompting him to write the famous passage that we have today about the armor of God. And that's the whole idea behind this passage in Ephesians 6, the foundational passage here for our series. He compares our resources to a soldier's gear getting ready for battle, but in our case, for spiritual battle. Look with me again at Ephesians 6, 10 to 13. A final word: be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on all of God's armor so that you'll be able to stand firm against all strategies of the devil. For we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places. Therefore, put on every piece of God's armor so that you will be able to resist the enemy in the time of evil. Then after the battle, you will be standing firm. Paul tells us that God equips us with powerful spiritual resources to achieve victory. So why don't we always feel that victorious? Well, for many Christians, A, they might not be aware of the spiritual gifts that God offers, and the spiritual tools and these resources that Paul is talking about in Ephesians 6. Or B, even if they know about them, they might not be accurately and actively using them. In today's study, we begin looking at these spiritual tools in detail. Continuing on in verse 14, we read, "Stand your ground, putting on the belt of truth." The first piece of equipment, then, that Paul mentions is the belt of truth. Now, some might say a belt wouldn't be pure armor, per se, but for a soldier at that time, it was essential. For a soldier back then, it had three jobs. First, freedom of movement. The belt held up the soldier's tunic, keeping it out of the way and allowing for quick movement during combat. It was also for weapons at the ready. The belt also served as a holster for the soldier's sword, keeping it close at hand and easily accessible, and added protection. Some belts were like wet leather aprons, offering extra protection for the soldier's midsection. So while the belt itself wasn't metal armor, it played a vital role in a soldier's preparedness. In the fight for our faith, Paul calls our belt the belt of truth. It's the foundation for everything else. You must have truth before any other armor can be put on. Truth. We always prefer the truth to lies, right? Lies can get us into so much trouble, can't they? It seems a woman stopped by the deli after work wanting a chicken for dinner. The butcher grabs the very last one, he weighs it and tells her the price. She hesitates, it's a bit smaller than what she needs at home. "Do you have anything bigger?" she asks politely. Without a word, the butcher takes that last chicken back to the cooler in the back room, pretends to search around for an even bigger one, brings the exact same chicken out, places it on the scale again. "Well, this chicken weighs just over 1 pound more," he announced. And the woman then pondered her options, then said, "Well, okay, I guess I'll have to take them both." During the trial of Jesus, Pilate asked Jesus, "What is truth?" What was really ironic there was he was literally staring truth in the face. Just a little bit earlier, Jesus had declared to his disciples, "I am the truth." But Pilate's question is still an important one today. What is truth? The dictionary would say that truth is that which is fact, reality, accurate, or genuine, as opposed to a lie. John, the Apostle John, calls Satan the father of lies. John chapter 8, verse 44. "The devil has always hated the truth because there's no truth in him. When he lies, it's consistent with his character, for he is a liar and the father of lies." Truth acts as our antidote against confusion and deception because lies crumble when faced with truth. But there are different kinds of truths, aren't there? Firstly, there's objective truth, truth that is always true no matter our personal opinions. Just like gravity, it works for everyone whether we believe in it or not. If you jump off a building, you will always fall toward the ground, whether you believe in gravity or not. And just like 1 and 1 always equals 2, it never equals 3, it never equals 4, some truths are unshakable. But the devil tries to counter objective truth using two other truths. There's subjective truth. This idea says something can be true for one person, but not another. Someone might say, for instance, the Dodgers are the best baseball team in the country, while someone else might disagree. He'd be wrong, but he can still disagree. That is subjective truth. I think very few things taste better than a very well-cooked steak. My wife, a vegan, heartily disagrees with me. That's subjective truth, and it's relatively harmless. But when it becomes dangerous is when we say that all truth is subjective. It makes any other truths unimportant and irrelevant, like saying, "Believe whatever you want, that's your truth." And then there's a third kind, if you will, a hybrid truth. It's like putting a few sprinkles of truth on a big plate of lies. It makes the lie seem much more believable when there's a little bit of truth included with the lie. So how do we find this objective truth? Well, the Bible uses the Greek word aletheia for truth, which means that which has been revealed. You know, Madeleine Engel, a Christian author, once wrote, "I know that I'm not immune from attacks, but I also know that the darkness cannot put out the light." Ultimately, Christians believe that true and lasting truth is found in God's word, a light that cuts through the darkness and the deception. By studying God's word, by studying the Bible, we learn who we are in Christ and how to live a victorious life. With truth as our belt of truth, we're ready to face any spiritual battle. Remember, the belt is the first piece of armor listed. Satan fights with lies, and sometimes his lies sound like the truth, but only believers with the belt of truth can discern God's truth, which defeats Satan's lies. Why did Paul list this tool first? He doesn't say, but I do know this. We must have truth before any other armor can be put on. Think of truth like an anchor. When we hold on to the truth, it keeps us grounded, keeps us focused. But what happens if we let go of that truth? Here's how it might affect us. We lose our direction. Without the belt of truth as our guide, our sense of what is right can become blurry. We receive inner turmoil. Peace can be hard to find when we're not anchored in truth. Diminished joy. True joy comes from a foundation of faith and trust in God. If we're not holding on to the truth, that joy can easily fade away. Weakened faith. Doubt can creep in when we're not sure what to believe. Losing ground. Without truth as our anchor, our spiritual life can become shaky and vulnerable. In Romans 12, Paul talks about the importance of renewing our minds. Think it, if you will, like giving your phone a software update. It gets rid of any bugs and just makes it work better, or that's the way it's supposed to be. By immersing ourselves in God's truth, we become less susceptible to the world's ever-changing trends and pressures. It's the difference between tossed by the waves and standing strong on a solid rock. So how do we renew our minds, as was Paul mentioned in Romans 12? Daily Bible study, prayer, surrounding ourselves with positive influences. By letting God's word be the center of our thinking, we become equipped to live life with purpose and with clarity. The next piece of equipment that Paul mentions is the breastplate, and in some translations, the body armor. Ephesians 6:14, stand your ground, putting on the belt of truth and the body armor of God's righteousness. You know, years ago, Los Angeles motorcycle police officer Bob Vernon saw a red pickup truck speed through a stop sign. Well, this guy might be late to work, he thought to himself. He turned on his lights and radioed that he was in pursuit. Pickup pulled over and the officer approached. Meanwhile, in the truck, the driver thought, oh no, the cops already know. He was scared. He rested his hand on the same gun that he had used a few minutes before to rob a small market, the sack of stolen money still sitting beside him on the seat. The officer said, good morning, sir, may I see your... But he never got to finish that sentence. See, the driver pointed his gun at the policeman and fired from just inches away. The cop was knocked flat on his back. But a few seconds later, to the shock and dismay of the criminal, the officer stood up, pulled out his service revolver, and fired twice. What saved that policeman's life that morning was a choice. He had decided that day to put on his bulletproof vest and the dozens of layers of Kevlar, only 3/8 of an inch thick, stopped bullets cold. The breastplate was also a central part of the Roman's armor. It was a bronze plate lined with leather on his torso, extending from the neck down to the navel. It was to provide protection to the vital organs, especially the heart, from swords and arrows and spears and javelins. In an age before antibiotics and advanced surgery techniques, any wound could not only be very painful, it would have likely been fatal as well. A Roman soldier depended on his breastplate to protect him from injury and death. The breastplate was fitted with loops or buckles that attached to a thick belt, and if the belt was loosened, the breastplate simply slipped right off. Now, Paul says that in our spiritual lives, righteousness acts as a similar kind of protection. Let's consider exactly what he's talking about. But before I tell you what it is, let me tell you what it isn't. This righteousness is not self-righteousness. Self-righteousness is not true righteousness at all. In fact, it's the worst form of sin imaginable. A self-righteous person believes it's up to them that somehow their character and their behavior earns them favor with God. A self-righteous person lives not to please the Lord, but their own needs, believes that they are a little better than others, that if they can just stop enough sin, avoid enough evil, do enough good, that somehow God will be pleased with them and reward them accordingly. What they fail to realize is that their self-righteousness provides the enemy with a powerful weapon he can use to strangle the life out of their service for the Lord. They lose their joy in the Lord. They have no real peace because they can never do or be enough. They become judgmental. Other people are always failing to live up to their standards. They know nothing of love, of forgiveness, of grace. Worse, a self-righteous person cannot grasp the concept that their righteousness is nothing more than filthy rags to a righteous God. No, true righteousness is doing what's right in God's eyes, living a life that aligns with His will. It's about following God's commandments and choosing what's right over what's easy. Sin, on the other hand, is the opposite of righteousness. Now, when the Bible talks of Christian righteousness, it speaks of it in two different ways. It speaks of justification or imputed righteousness and sanctification or imparted righteousness. Now, all of these are big theological terms to show that you either went to Bible school or seminary, but what do they actually mean? Well, see, justification provides us the righteousness of Jesus, which is given to us as a free gift when we're saved. You see, because God is holy, He cannot have a relationship with anyone who is not holy, who is sinful. Yet by nature, we are sinful rather than righteous. We may think we're not that bad, but Romans 3:10 states there's none righteous, no, not even one. And verse 23 says, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. See, left to ourselves, we could never make ourselves acceptable to God. But here's the amazing that God loves me, God loves you, he loves us so much that he provided a way to bridge the gap. Romans 5:6 tells us the blessed fact that while we were still helpless, Christ died for the ungodly. Christ not only shed his blood to remove our sins, his righteousness, his perfect record of obedience to the Father is given or imputed as a gift. When God sees us, he doesn't see our record of disobedience, our record of sin. Rather, he sees Christ's perfect record of obedience, of his righteousness. When we confess our sins and accept the sacrifice Jesus made on our behalf, God sees us as blameless, as forgiven, and as accepted, justified, just as if we'd never sinned. 1 Corinthians 1:30 says, Christ made us right with God. He made us pure and holy, and he freed us from sin. But our spiritual growth doesn't stop there. The Bible also talks about sanctification. This is the ongoing process of becoming more and more like Jesus Christ. This is where the Holy Spirit comes in. As we actively seek to follow God's will, the Holy Spirit empowers us to make righteous choices and reflect Christ's character in our thoughts, in our words, in our actions. This process of becoming Christ-like isn't always easy. To be honest, it's a journey with many ups and many downs. But by cooperating with the Holy Spirit and actively seeking God, we can experience the joy of growing in righteousness each and every day. So how does righteousness correspond to a breastplate in our spiritual warfare? Well, you know, two areas of life that Satan most frequently attacks people of God are in their minds and their emotions. Satan wants to strip out truth from our mind while filling it with his own perverted ideas. He fills our mind with false doctrines, with false emotions. He uses the wicked world around us to tempt us to think wrong thoughts, follow wrong priorities, have the wrong goals in life, dedicate ourselves to the wrong loyalties, and committing ourselves to the wrong things. If he can use us and cause us to think things the wrong way, to follow feelings not pleasing to the Lord, he can defeat us and drag us away from God. He can take us out of the fight, all by changing how we think and how we feel. The breastplate of righteousness, it can guard or protect our heart from Satan's attacks. The gift of justification, those imputed righteousness, if you will, gives us the confidence to stand before God and face any challenge. It's not about earning our way in, but about receiving God's amazing grace through faith in Jesus Christ. And the gift of sanctification, the imparted righteousness, brings us closer and closer to God, becoming more aligned with his will every day. Our desires change. We start to crave things that please God, not just ourselves. Our hearts soften. We become more compassionate, more understanding. Our words become gracious. We choose to speak with kindness, with respect. Our actions reflect Christ's love. We naturally want to help others and live a life that honors God. I think it's fitting that Paul starts with these two pieces of armor and places them side by side. Truth that makes up the belt and righteousness that makes up the breastplate. The good news is this. By holding on to the belt of truth through scripture study and prayer, we build a solid foundation for our righteousness. This in turn protects our spiritual core and helps us make choices that honor God. Are you ready to experience that kind of power in your life today? Well, you can start by making God's word a regular part of your day. Read scripture, reflect on its meaning, and apply its teachings to your life. And as you do, you'll find your mind transforming and your faith growing stronger each and every day. Let us pray. Father God, for us to use the whole armor of God, we must be Christians. First and foremost, we must confess our sins. We need to believe that Jesus died for us on the cross and accept him as our Savior. And then, as Christians, we then receive the righteousness of Jesus Christ. What a gift. What a gracious gift from you. Lord, help us stand strong in your truth, helping us to renew our minds on a daily basis. Help us to study your word, to meditate upon it, to find ways to actively apply it in our lives. And then, Father, I put on your breastplate of righteousness. I believe in Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I'm clothed with his righteousness, which protects my heart from the enemy. All holes that the devil ever had in my life and has in me has been washed away by the blood of Jesus Christ. I'm no longer clothed in filthy garments, but rather with rich robes of righteousness. The righteousness of God covers me and protects me from the enemy. Remind us, O God, that your Holy Spirit is always present for us to help us become more and more like the man or woman that you have created and purposed us to be. Help us to remember that every single day, Father. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.